Kenny McPeak is with us now. He has trained more than 1,600 winners in a stellar career and looking for another one this afternoon in the Alabama. Kenny, welcome, my friend.
Yeah, good morning.
Yeah, she hasn't ducked anybody, has she?
Well, you get three-year-old fillies, you know, you get a chance to get more black type, and she's got an excellent female family. So, you know, it's her second dam's winning colors, Derby winners, most of us know, but she's good, and this is a chance to really put a big cherry on top of everything with her.
Yeah, she's very good. Let's talk about, before we get into talking about what she's going to face today in the Alabama, let's talk about those past four outings since that big win at Oaklawn Park. After that race, she comes back. She's beaten just a head in the Grade 2 Fairground Oaks. Then she comes back, and she's second to Monomoy Girl in the Grade 1 Ashland. And then her next two starts were pretty solid. She runs in the Kentucky Oaks. She is a closing fourth, not bad at all. And then she comes back in the Coaching Club American Oaks and is fourth again, all behind Monomoy Girl. Your thoughts on those past four outings?
Well, Monomoy Girl's special. I mean, you can't deny that. I'm really thrilled she's not running this weekend. We've been plotting for this race for an extended period of time, thinking all along this would be her best distance. You know, you can't control the pace of the race, so we don't know how it's going to set up for us. She does need a little bit of pace to run at, and hopefully they give her that. But she had a big strap in Philly, and her four races before, I mean, she probably should have won the Fairgrounds Oaks. That was really not a great trip, but she just got nosed out. And then the other races were all respectable. I mean, this is a lot deeper water than she was running in at Oaklawn, and you've obviously got to, you know, beat the better ones to get the Grade 1 status. But she's a good filly, and I think her future's bright.
Yeah, Midnight Bisou, the morning line favorite and the likely favorite, the horse that you'll have to, of course, you got to beat them all, but she's the big name in the Alabama Stakes, and you were just a half length behind her in the Kentucky Oaks, and your filly had a little bit of trouble. Give you a little more confidence knowing that?
Well, at Churchill, we've got the big long stretch, and here you're going to have a nice long stretch, especially in a mile and a quarter. The race we ran, the Coaching Club, the race coming into here, we really needed a race. I mean, I really was using that race to propel her into the Alabama. I mean, I gave her a break at my farm to give her a little breather, let her put on a little weight. She is so much bigger and stronger now than she was when we were running her in the spring. I think if you see her, she's just a massive. She's like a freight train to look at. But she's I think she's her best today. And, you know, fingers crossed, Jose Ortiz gives her a sweet trip and, you know, she gets a big piece of it.
Yeah, you said you thought this might be her best distance, mile and a quarter, or at least a good distance for her. Is that because of her size, or is there something else she shows you that makes you believe that maybe this is the right spot?
Well, size and running style. I mean, she's a filly that doesn't quit in a race. She just keeps coming. And if they set some pace middle, early, pace on the race, and then that gives her a chance for them to come back to her a little bit. But she's not going to be quitting. She's going to be continuing to finish, and hopefully, like I said, it's really a pace of the race is really what we're at our mercy here. Is she good enough, and can she get through, you know, the traffic and make her run to the wire?
Talking with trainer Kenny McPeak on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Kenny, you know, as I was kind of thinking back on some of the big upsets that you pulled off, and this wouldn't certainly be that big of an upset because Eskimo Kiss is, at least in terms of the odds, only 6-1 on the morning line, so she's definitely a contender in here. But you think back to like Sarava and even maybe Golden Ticket, for example. Do you like being in this position of being the hunter as opposed to the hunted?
No, I'd rather be the hunted. I'd rather be Monomoy Girl. But no, it's okay. You know, I'm not one to put much emphasis in on win percentage. I believe that black type on fillies is more important than win percentage. I think putting money in my owner's or my client's accounts is more important than win percentage. And, you know, look, you've got to risk something for a reward. And what else are we going to do with her? I mean, she's run through her conditions. She's already Grade 1 placed, Grade 2 placed. You've got one shot at this, whether it's a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old. Then you've got to run against older horses, which is a completely different level. And it's actually a similar situation to Daddy's Little Darling last year, where you know, we were hunting the grade one, and we got it. About before the end of the year, we finally got it. But that's of huge value to people that breed horses. And Anthony Beck and the primary owners here, Harold Lerner, you know, Andrew Rosen's now a partner with us, Jack Cohen. You know, this filly's value is in the broodmare shed at one day or one point. If you stamp a grade one on her catalog page as a grade one winner, the value when her colts, fillies go through the auction is massive.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it.
That's where the real reward is. So taking a shot's no big deal.
Yeah, no doubt about it, and I completely agree. You're 100% right. She has had, Eskimo Kisses has had her fair share of riders throughout her career, and now she gets another new one with Jose Ortiz. Talk to me about the decision there.
Well, a little bit back and forth on that, of course. Alex Conchar did a real good job with her, but Alex doesn't ride this circuit, and no sense in putting him in foreign territory. We've got Corey Lannery, who's always done a great job. My initial idea was to bring Corey back to Rotter up here, but we talked about it, and we'd still rather have a local Rotter. I think that she is kind of particular in the way she's ridden. I don't think that Castellano, or Javier Castellano, did a bad job on her so much. I know she needed the race, but I do think that she wants a rider that sits back on her a little bit and gives her a little bit of bit to hang on to and lets her pull them along. And what I call a slingshot ride, where they're just holding until they see the whites of their eyes, and then they cut them loose the last part of it. I think maybe Jose Ortiz is that rider for today. But look, he's a top rider in New York. You can't go too wrong, I don't suppose. And he came and got on her the other day and liked her a lot. She really pulled him around here. He's got a feel for how big and strong she is, and he's ready to get the job done himself.
Ken McPeak here on HRRN. Kenny, I'm glad you brought up the name Daddy's Little Darling, because I was going to ask you about her performance last week in the Beverly D. She ran a solid fourth in there. I think you had to be pretty happy, although I know you would have preferred a little bit better, but your thoughts on that performance?
Ricky Bobby. if you're not first, you're last, is always a joke. But, you know, she ran another bang-up race, and she gets beat by Chad Brown, which, you got to really tip your hat to the guy. He's really on a roll. She's been kind of haunted by a lot of his fillies. But, look, close no cigar again. She's really special. Really sad to lose Mrs. Polk right now. And I don't know that filly's going to run anymore. The family's kind of decided that they may not race her anymore. So that remains to be seen. There's some estate issues, and it's, certainly it's out of my hands. I don't know why, but it looks like that might be swan song.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely not the news that we wanted to hear, for sure. One thing trainers do, Kenny, is they're always looking to kind of find that next superstar. And a lot of people may not realize this, but one way that trainers do that is by going to a public auction. You were at the Saratoga Selected Yearling Sale a couple of weeks ago. We were there. We broadcast it. You didn't waste any time. You got busy with Hip Number One, a filly by Cairo Prince, who is going to head down to Magdalena now to get ready. Pretty nice job, my friend. Well done.
Well, it's hard to find value in this sale, and I do put a lot of energy into finding value for people I work for. I thought that filly was one of the best fillies in the auction, and the fact that she went off early, I think, worked to our advantage. As a seller, I don't know that you want to be in early or really late, but we jumped on it. Scott Leeds, one of my best clients, he bought her, and I thought it was good value, and then we subsequently won with two Cairo Princes.
Oh, nice.
Time Warp, who's going to run in the Seeking the Annie, and then I've got Cairo Cad, who won up here, is going to come back in the Kentucky, or in the Iroquois at Churchill. So we like him a lot.
Yeah, he's such a good stallion. And this filly, look, that sale, Kenny, and tell me if you agree, I thought that may have been maybe some of the best yearlings ever assembled for any horse sale, and I think the results proved it.
Now, wait a second. Now, you don't really know that for 3 years.
Yeah, in the catalog, anyway, they looked like it.
Phasing Tipton does a great job. They're really good at that. And you know, the sail topping filly with the Medaglia d'Oro, I trained her mother, Dawn Raid, and I, you know, you like to see that. But you just never know with these auctions. Sometimes a group that they put out there. I mean, a few years ago they had Songbird run through there, and it's a I think Bolt d'Oro went through there. They never fail. They always have runners come out of that. That's why they're so damned expensive.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, Kenny, what else can we look forward to from the McPeak Barn over the next couple of months as we move down the road to the Breeders' Cup?
Well, we've got Restless Rider. Yep. Philly that won the debutante. I mean, this filly's a real freak. Probably as excited as I've ever been about a young horse, colt or filly. She's got bullet worked here yesterday as a two-year-old. She does it with a bow in her neck. She worked 59-1 over the Oklahoma track, which is unheard of. And she's set for the Spinaway. Her schedule, Spinaway, Alcibiades, Breeders' Cup, if all goes to plan. And she's, I mean, even Take Charge Lady didn't show this kind of talent as a two-year-old.
Yeah.
So fingers crossed, legs crossed, arms crossed. Hope everything stays like it has. So anyway, that one, and I've got a whole bunch of other ones. You know, Cairo Cat I mentioned. I got the New York Bred Time Warp. I got, you know, I got some good hard knockers out there too. Senior Investment still in the barn. He's going to have a good fall. Rated R Superstar who won the Ben Ally. He's a really good Grade Three type horse. Oh gosh, I'm sure I'm missing some. Some NTM, our Louisville Handicap winner from 17. He's getting ready for fall. Vittori Ken, who won it in 18, the Louisville Handicap, he's getting ready for fall. Harlan Strong, who was second in the Louisville Handicap, another one. But anyway, we got a nice foundation of horses, and we got a lot of young horses coming up already.
Yeah, a really strong roster for trainer Kenny McPeak, who is my guest here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Kenny, just a couple of minutes left. Have to get to the next segment, but before I do, I always like to give you an opportunity to let people know what's happening with your app that you created, Horse Races Now. Where do things stand there? How's it going?
Well, one of the, you know, for those that don't know, the Horse Races Now is an iPhone Android app, and you can get it on either store. But, you know, it still continues to gather about 10,000 new users a month. It's a pretty amazing product in that regard. Financially, it's been like climbing Mount Everest. I put a lot of my own money into it, but people, they're using it a lot, and we're going to probably tinker with a subscription version because financially we need some sort of help, you know, covering the cost of data and video. And then we did a wagering version, which we had out in beta since April, that's been modestly successful. It functions perfectly, but we have been unable to get the Stronach group or Churchill or Naira to give us the ability to bet or content. So that's been a little frustrating. If we don't have the big racetracks, we can't keep that open. So we've decided that we're going to close it down. But it's the app itself continues to grow, and it's about 700,000 users now.
Wow.
And we've got some chances. We may even add sports betting to it at some point. That's been something that's been discussed, especially with the new Supreme Court decision. That could change the scenery a lot too. But otherwise, we're just kind of grinding along and trying to make something good happen for a sport that needs it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We'll keep it rolling and keep up the good fight, Kenny. Always appreciate the visit. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, we'll send you a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. And all the best this afternoon in the Alabama and moving forward with all those horses on the road to the Breeders' Cup.
All right, thanks for having me.